You'd love to say that it's a privilege to be able to preach to you tonight by the way of the telephone and talk with you. It's kind of a dilemma as to whether I'd be there tonight or whether I should speak to you this way. But we're glad that you're here tonight. You know, the end of the world is upon us. I think most everybody realizes that the end of the world is here. We have a lot of theories about it, and we hear a lot of things about it. And people on the radio or television or even in the publications of articles and magazines and newspapers, they're doing all kind of things and saying all kind of things as to try to determine the signs of the time and just exactly what is taking place. But there's no way that they can ever do that. First of all, the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. If they are spiritually discerned, and if they are foolishness to the natural man, no matter what his level of intellect is, then that means he can never know them, he can never find them out. It has to be God giving it to you in a revelation. The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And he's got to give it to you in a revelation. If he does not reveal it, then there is no way you can get it. The Bible said this knowledge is higher above your knowledge than the heavens is the earth. So that means that we will never be able to get it through an intellectual reasoning. We have to be sure that it's coming directly from God and in that it's coming from God. Then we know that it is a revelation and we're able to interpret and pass it on to the others. So then we know the end of the world is here, and we know that God is calling upon us to be able to evangelize the world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whereas the Bible tells us that God gave the word, but great was the multitude of them that published it. So that means that we are a group of people that are working together, kind of like the little ants, and we're trying to lay up in the summer for the winter. And we're trying to get ready so that we can be ready at the coming of the Lord. I was telling some brethren over in the late evening, every one of us is going to stand before God in the judgment. And therefore, standing before God, we're accountable. And I asked myself the question, what will you do, Brother Pike, when you stand before God that no matter what you've done, it's going to seem to be so little? Because the thing that God is going to be looking at is your failures, and he's going to be considering your failures as to why you failed him the way that you did. And then I'll find myself speechless unless God undertakes for me, unless the sweet Holy Ghost can step up through Jesus Christ and say to God, you know, I'm standing in this man's behalf. My blood avails for him. See, and you're going to stand there too, and it's going to be a sad moment. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're none of his. The Bible teaches God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And with the spirit, it is the Holy Ghost. It is the spirit of Christ. And if you have not the spirit of Christ, then you're none of his. So then we have to take on the Spirit of Christ, be filled with the Spirit of Christ, and then we belong to God. And the Bible says the proof of having the Spirit is that you have your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. So if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, then you're not the right kind of tree. Jesus said when they crucified him, if they do this in a green tree, speaking of himself as a tree of God, as being filled with the sap of life, what will they do to a dry tree? Speaking of those people that did not have the Spirit of Christ. And so then, knowing that the world does not have the Spirit of Christ, see, if all these plagues come upon us and all the sorrows come upon us daily as to a continual warfare, and we're continually harassed by Lucifer If it is a continual interference by Lucifer to hinder us in the gospel every way we can through the feebleness of this body, then that means that we have a continual warfare on our hands. It means that we're going to have more in the way of reward than the others, because they've never gone through the things that we've gone through. But those people out there that are doing nothing for God, and those people that are considered to be the dry tree, those people, they're going to stand there in the judgment of God without anything, not even the grace of God. The grace of God that's been given to them right now through the church ages is to give them a chance to repent of their sins. But then they won't even as much as have the grace of God. See, and if they don't have Christ, can you imagine what that's going to be as to the final analysis of them? If we're going through a warfare now continually, and we have the Spirit of God, and we're still harassed the way that we are day by day, think what it will be like to them when they come to the place when the Spirit of God is lifted and then the wrath of God has come down upon them. They won't have anything to counteract Satan at all. The Bible said the kingdom of the beast, that his kingdom will be filled with darkness, and that they will literally gnaw their tongues for pain. So then that means that it's going to be a very sad moment and a very sad day. We know that the end of the world is upon us, and now we have to do something for God. I was also exhorting the brethren along these lines over the evening, and that is, without a vision, the people perish. I see lots of people perishing round about, and I think, well, why are they perishing? And then I hear a voice from heaven say, according to the scripture, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. And I say, well, what is going on, O Lord? And he says, they don't have a vision. They don't have a vision. You know, when you have a vision for the world, you can succeed in the world, and you'll be blessed in the world, and you'll have the things of the world, and you'll have the education of the world, the understanding of the world. But see, that doesn't do anything for God or his kingdom. For you to have that something in the kingdom, then that means that you've got to have the Spirit of Christ, and you've got to go after the Lord Jesus. And that way, you have the things of God, because the things of God knoweth no man, and they're not going to come to a man. They're going to come to the children of God. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, then these things will not come to you. But it's for sure that if you have the mind of the world, you'll have the things of the world. If you have the mind of Christ, then you'll have the things of Christ. The Bible said that they belong to God, they do mind the things of the Spirit. And they that belong to the world, they do mind the things of the world. And it is a true fact that when you communicate with them, you'll find it to be just exactly that way, that those people that are out in the world, they have their minds on drinking, carousing and partying, and on monetary values in the world, on education, comforts and convenience. And they have the things of the world because they mind the things of the world, and the world loves its own, and they go after the things of the world. But you find people who love God are willing to self-deny and not have self-prestige, but esteem others better than themselves and seek the welfare of another. And they go after God because they have the mind of Christ, so they mind the things that be of heaven. They mind the things that be of the Spirit. That is to say, their mind is continually meditating in these things day and night, and this is what they have on their mind, and this is what they have as the desire of their heart. There's no need of trying to fool ourselves, you know, and play the hypocrite, or be evasive to the things of God and try to testify that we love the Lord. Because if you love the Lord, then you will serve the Lord. The Bible said, he that loves me, he'll keep my commandments. He'll do the things that I tell him to do. And if you don't do the things that God tells you to do and wants you to do, then you don't love the Lord. There's no need of you telling yourself that you love the Lord, because you don't love the Lord. You're only lying against the truth. But when you love the Lord and you do the things that please the Lord, then do you love the Lord. You please God the Bible said before Jesus went away, he had this testimony that he did always the things that pleased the Father. It says before Enoch was translated by faith, his testimony was that he did always the things that pleased God. And when you love the Lord, you'll do the things that please God. You'll go after the things of God, and you'll go after spiritual things. And your whole life will be built upon a foundation of the Word, and you will continually meditate in His laws day and night, always asking God to help you and seeking strength that you might be a greater testimony and that you might have God to open to your mind a new avenue of thought as to what you might be able to do for Him, and by this that you might be able to do something for someone, for as much as you did it to the least of these, the Lord Jesus said, you did it unto me. And if you did not do it unto them, you did not do it unto me. I was sick, he said, you didn't visit me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And they said, when saw we you like this? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. And then he said to the others, enter into the blessings of God, ye blessed of the Lord. For I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. And they said, when saw we ye like this? And he said, inasmuch as you did it unto these, even the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And it is a true fact that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And if we are the body and bone of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is obvious that when we do these things unto our fellow man, then we do it unto God. The Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. And when we do these things as unto the Lord, then we have a reward. When you go out to labor, you go out into the fields of labor, you should not go out into the fields of labor as to routine, just getting up and going after things in a gullible way, trying to make money and have the things of the world. You should not do that. The Bible said labor that you might have to give and share with others. Go out there to labor that you might have something for the poor and for the needy. And God will meet your needs. He will abundantly supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And then you won't be laid down and in trouble. The Bible speaks of the man of God, and it said, man of God, speaking of riches, flee these things, O thou man of God, and lay hold on eternal life. For many following after these things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so then the Bible speaks on this wise, that he that serves the Lord, his blessing maketh him rich. He addeth no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. His blessings maketh rich, but it adds no sorrow. Whatever the man does, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. So then we know for sure that God's way is the right way. When it comes to God healing us, and God saving us, and God delivering us, God is always the healer. He's always the savior. He's never the robber. He's never the thief. God never takes things from us. He gives things to us. And Satan never gives anything to us. He perverts the use of what we've already got to get the benefit of it. And he always takes things from us. For he's a thief and a robber. And we find out that when we do not honor the Lord with our substance, it gives place to Satan. And the Bible said, though you make much, it will come to little. Because when you bring it home, I will blow upon it. And we find out that we never really prosper and get ahead. There's no way that we can ever do it without God. Now, if you was in the world and you didn't have God, you know, and you didn't care for God, and you was just going on in the world loves its own. The Bible is, it calls that the land of Esau. And it will let you go on. The Word of God will let you go on until you finally, the snare will go through the liver. That is, the dart will strike through the liver, and you will finally find yourself in a circumstance that you cannot get out of. So then that means that if you're out of the world, you may seem to prosper and you may seem to have the things of the world. It may be that it appears that you have every good thing out there, but there'll come a time when it will all be taken away from you, or you will be taken away from it. So see, what profit is there in that? Solomon said one time that life is but a few days and full of trouble. It's swifter than a shuttle. It is like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. And he went about to despair of all of his works, because he said, with my hands I have wrought this work. I have gathered this gold and silver. I have great riches and great wisdom. But now who knows but what I shall leave it to a fool. And he despaired of his work, because it looked like that all he had that he would leave to a fool. And sure enough, he did leave it to a foolish son that squandered it. See, but it was taken away from Solomon. And though he was ever so great, what benefit to Solomon was it when he was taken away? So then God will take it away from you, or he will take you away from it. But when you seek God, God will give you riches in this life. He will give you the blessings in this life. And then when you leave this life, you have used those blessings in the past to lay up treasures for God. And because you used it to lay up treasures for God, then that means that you are going from here from good to better. You're going on into a place to where you will have great riches, great splendor and magnificence. And all of the blessings of the Lord will be there waiting for you. And all of your labor will be in God. The Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and moths it's not corrupt. For wherever your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And we have to be careful about that, because with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and salvation comes by faith. So then we have to be sure as to where our heart is going to be. See, so when we get interested in the things of the world, we're in trouble. The Bible said, set your affection on things above, where thieves don't rob, break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there shall your heart be also. So then when we think about these things, we realize that what we need to do is to follow after Christ and lay up treasures in heaven, so that when we leave this world, all that we've had here, being loyal over it as a faithful steward, we have used these things, therefore, for God and for the benefit of God. And because of that, then we have heavenly treasure that's waiting on us. Even though now, right at this time, we have a heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels that's to be made manifest in these mortal genes as to the knowledge of God and the faith of Christ to redeem our body and to keep it from death. You know, salvation is not just something about people going to church, organizing a little group, and trying to take up offerings. It is something far greater than that. It is about eternal life, and it is telling us how that we should conduct ourselves and conform to the ways of God to change our lifestyle to God's pleasure. Because in so doing, we not only get eternal life, but we get immortality, which means this body is coming to a place one day, even some of them that are alive and living right now, as to those that will continue on until the coming of the Lord, should it happen in your generation. They will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and they will not go by the way of the grave. They will not be put in coffins. And the gospel is about that. The reason we press the issue of the revelation is to try to continue on to where we can get people to transformate in mind and bring in this new era to where death will forever be gone. Death does not have to be conquered. Death has already been conquered, and you already have power over death, over all the enemies of God, and death is the enemy of God. And you've already passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. But this life must be manifested. It's in your spirit. It must be manifested in your mortal genes to bring about immortality to the change of the body. And as long as we kind of go through a state of lethargy, unconcern, and we stay nonchalant before God, then we're not going to be diligent toward bringing this thing to the fullness. And it's up to us as Christians to live the right kind of life and to live an overcoming life, that we might not fail God and that we might go ahead and bring this thing to a close. You know, somebody says, well, we're just waiting on the Lord to come. It really isn't that way at all. What it is, the Lord is waiting on us to get ready. I remember writing a song when I was out. I think I was in California. I was preaching up and down the coast. And one day, I was praying. I had a place there where I lived. It was a kind of a dungeon-like place in the basement. I would get down there, and I could weep before God without anybody knowing it. And I was asking the Lord the question, oh, Lord, why do you wait so long? Why do you wait so long to come for us? And I heard him say, son, I'm not waiting. You are the one. See, you are the one. I'm not waiting for my coming. I am waiting for you to be ready. When you get ready, then I'll come. And so then we wrote the song. You know, we wrote the song concerning getting ready for his coming. And that's what we have to do. We have to get ready for his coming because we know that his coming is at hand, and we know that we've got to be ready because there's not going to be a second chance. There's not going to be opportunity after that we pass beyond the veil. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and there the minister remits our sins or retains our sins. And we have to be ready, or if we do not get ready, then we'll be cut off. So then we have to remember that salvation is by faith in the Word. And when the minister is speaking, the Bible said it is not him speaking, but God speaking from within him. And as to the way that you receive this Word, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the way that you receive this Word, that means that your salvation depends on how you receive it and how you hear it. For to receive the Word is to believe the Word. To believe the Word is to be sanctified. To be sanctified by the faith of Christ is to make yourself clean before God, that the great, mighty Holy Spirit, mighty Holy One of God, might come into your heart and take up his abode within your temple. And then, of course, the way that you know this is a tree is known according to the fruit that it bears. And you will begin to bear the fruits of holiness. So you know that you are a tree of life, and that you're not a dead tree, a dry tree of the old tree of knowledge. You are a tree of life. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Charity goes before honor, a haughty spirit before fall, and pride before destruction. And so then we suddenly find out that we are the tree of life, giving forth the fruits of life. And inasmuch as we're giving forth the fruits of life, then people are furbished and refurbished every day by our conversation unto an abundance of life. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. May the Lord bless you. I was glad to talk to you just a little bit tonight. The Bible said, exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. And I see the day approaching. And I want you to pray for me. I'll be praying for you. And we'll say bye until I can see you next time.